Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You guys both brought up this contract for Monty Williams, the fired coach of the Pistons. What is it, 5 years and $65 million left on the deal?
After he got a $20 million buyout from Phoenix. So he got 20 in one check, and now they're going to pay him $65 million more for
Paul,
failure.
If I gave you $85 million, where are you going?
Aruba.
Aruba?
Aruba. I'm buying a place in Aruba, and I'll be on the beach every day. I would golf in the morning. Or actually, I would play golf in the mornings, you know, three or four times a week, and I would be on the beach until sunset every day. I love
no stress.
I laugh at people that tell me, "Oh, you'd get bored doing that." No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Watch. If I ever hit the lottery, if I ever hit the Powerball, if I ever make whatever, watch how quickly I'm there.
Well, golf would consume a lot of it, so that your day could be built around golf. Right,
I'm just saying, I would probably only play nine holes down there because I wouldn't want to waste.
No, I wake up, I have a big, huge breakfast, nice walk on the beach, and then play golf till two. It's like,
and then you have cocktail hour,
you take a nap,
and then take a nap.
I would be basically that guy, yeah, who's there on the beach relaxing, and then at night I would go find a nice dinner somewhere, you know, and I'd be in bed early every night.
Yeah, that way you get good sleep. You don't have any worries. Yep.
I'd probably play 18, but I would try and get out at the crack of dawn when I play golf.
You think Monty Williams has that thought process? Or
you know, it's one of a lot of these.
First
guys,
of all, would he ever get another job now?
What are they doing? Their best thinking of the whole organization after all these interviews, like who's going to rebuild our franchise, nets them this guy, and they give up after 1 year?
Nobody ever thought they were going to be a good team. Now, they only had 14 wins, I think, all year.
Yeah, they were intentionally
ridiculous.
Bad.
They were bad for, you know, for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is to get better players in here. But how do you bail on him so quickly? And what did he? What were your expectations? I would like to ask whoever's in charge of making this decision, what were your expectations of him that you thought you're going to give him $65 million?
Well, like Paul said, who's the GM around here? How's he not fired? How's he not fired before the coach?
Here's the thing. The GM... See, this is what's weird. The GM that actually hired him was fired the next day, if that makes sense.
Oh,
they hired Monty.
Now I remember that.
Monty Williams on June 1st last year.
Okay.
This GM that then the next day he wasn't fired. He stepped down the next day. So he basically helped. Here's my thing. If you're the owner, why is the person that you know is going to be gone conducting your search for a new coach?
Right.
And, you know, when you bring in a new guy, it's Trajan Langdon. You remember him? He was a player.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He's now the guy, the president of basketball operations. You know, when he comes in, he's going to want to bring in his own coach.
Yeah, but you just spent that much money?
Where would you go?
First of all, I said this right at the time. What justified that kind of money? And don't just tell me, well, because the market is the market. You didn't have to give him $65 million.
I mean, they identified him as a great coach.
But what made you think, based on what?
Good question. I guess going to the finals in Phoenix? That doesn't happen often. Okay. Where would you go if I gave you $65 million, Bob? Join Ron in Fort Myers?
Well, I might pay him a visit, yes. But I'd go everywhere. Whatever my wife would want to go to, would go. That's it. And I would make sure there was golf involved in this somehow, some way.
I'd go to Lake Tahoe. And then I would have a place on what's the course out near L.A. The one that I always
Riviera?
Play shooters. No,
Pebble
Cypress. Beach.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach. I would have a condo right there and just go back and forth. Yeah. From
when money's not an issue,
nature.
You can pick and choose whatever
exactly.
You want.
Yes.
What I might do is I might have a condo or something on Kiawah Island so I could play the ocean course mm-hmm. whenever I want.
You would get tired of that. That wind is just not ending. It just.
I would play it, but I would obviously my main residence would be in Aruba. And actually, I wouldn't because I would never leave. I wouldn't want to leave Aruba. I'd just be there.
You ever been there, Bob?
Aruba?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, many times.
I love it.
I play golf. Play golf there.
Did you play golf there, Paul?
Yeah.
Tierra del Sol was the name of the course.
Yeah, I played at the Divi, and the thing about it is the wind.
Oh.
Is interesting.
It just.
But it's fun.
It is fun, but the wind, if it's at you. So hard to make a good swing.
But I'll tell you what, the fact that there's that breeze on the island is what makes it perfect.
Yeah.
Because even like when you get into the throes of summer, when it's like 96, 97 degrees, there's enough of a breeze that it's not terrible. And it's like.
And you always have water to jump into somewhere.
What's funny is I look at my phone every day. I have Aruba's weather up on my phone.
So he's really into Aruba.
It's like every day, low 84, high 89, sunny. And and the one year I went in the quote-unquote rainy season, it rained about 10 minutes, three of the mornings I was there.
But as quickly as it comes, it goes.
It just comes through, and it's not even like a rain like we see. It's one of those rains that almost is like a mist, you know what I mean, for like 10 minutes. And then it's sunny and beautiful the rest of the day.
It's 88 degrees there right now.
Exactly.
I just looked. Mm-hmm. Colin, I passed in the hallway. He said, now that Willie Mays has passed, who's the greatest living ball player? I'll give you some names. Is it automatically Barry Bonds? Roger Clemens, maybe? Ricky Henderson? A-Rod? Mike Schmidt? Is this an easy call or a tough one, Paul? Albert Pujols, Ricky Henderson, A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Clemens, Bonds.
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 But,
I'd say Bonds, too, easily.
Bonds with a caveat. What about Ohtani?
Well, he's living.
Ohtani? You're right. What about Mike Trout?
I'm not going to put Mike Trout in that category.
I think Bonds is great, but my thing with Ohtani is we talk about it all the time, Joe. His pitching.
No, I've said, and I think he's the greatest baseball player in history.
If you're going to say the greatest living ball player that's not active, Bonds.
Yeah.
I thought that was the question. Not active? Didn't he say not?
I mean, Paul put a twist on it here that these rankings I'm looking at have Trout in him.
Yeah.
And have Ohtani in him.
Not yeah, but what did Colin ask you, though? It was about...
I mean, he just said the greatest living ball player, okay. So they're living.
All right, I thought he said...
But yeah, I think it was implied
right.
An older guy, but not necessarily.
Well, I will then change and go to Ohtani, too. I think before it's all done, he's going to be the guy that everybody looks to and says he did more than Babe Ruth did, even though Babe Ruth did it at a time when absolutely no one even thought of it, and he did it. But yeah, Ohtani is a pitcher. If he gets back on the mound next year and he does what he's been doing and hitting, I don't know how you can not say him.
That's the thing. I mean, even the great Willie Mays, when it comes to comparing him to Ohtani, I have to ask, how did he do on the mound? The guy plays two different sports, at least he did before he got hurt, pitcher and baseball.
Right.
Which and he was great at both. I define this, I don't know, some people look more at career resume like, oh, this guy can't possibly be the greatest yet. I look at my definition whenever these conversations come up is if I plucked so-and-so out of his prime, against Tom Brady against Joe Montana against whoever, Gale Sayers against Barry Sanders against Eric Dickerson against Peyton against Jim Brown, if I plucked him out of his prime, how great was he?
Right.
That's what I care about. That's why I think Dave Parker's one of the greatest players of all time. Because if I took him out of 1978, that's exactly what he was. So when it comes to this conversation, greatest living ball player, let's just take guys who are retired. It's got to be Barry Bonds.
That's Bonds.
And for me, the next two, believe it or not, are Ricky Henderson and probably Some people would say Clemens or Randy Johnson. I'd say Pedro. If you took Pedro at the height of his powers, he was literally unhittable. And I don't think he was cheating either.
No, he was. People forget how good he was, how dominant he was in every big game situation.
In a four-year stretch, Pedro had ERAs of 2.07, 1.9, and 1.74. You couldn't hit him.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds has to be the answer to that question.
It's Barry Bonds
with Ohtani
for sure. What about Mariano Rivera?
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
It's not a bad choice.
What about Ken Griffey Jr.?
What about Ken Griffey Jr.? If you argue clean versus steroids.
Well, I mean, clean that we know. Anybody that played in that era is suspect, which is why I think it's so such a farce and a fraud that the voters would, you know, basically hold it against some guys and hold it and don't hold it against others.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
I mean, no offense to Cal Ripken, but I'm supposed to believe he all of a sudden blew up like he did and his body all of a sudden changed like it did in the later part of his career, and all of a sudden he was able to play 2,000, 9,000, you know, 2,900 or whatever games or whatever he played. I mean, I'm not saying that he did or he didn't, but I know this. Anybody that played in that era was very suspect to me no matter what, which is why the entire era should be treated as the steroid era, and those guys that were the best of the best in the steroid era should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with that 100%. I've been saying that from the beginning. You can cast a shadow of doubt on a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have already been accused of who we don't really know. So I base it on what I see. If he's allowed to play, if anyone's allowed to play, they're
allowed. That whole discussion is just, to me, is just
right.
Ridiculous. But, you know. All of baseball history is a lot of it is the story of cheating to win.
You go
back to the era of Willie Mays. The guys used to use greenies, amphetamines, greenies they called them, to be ready to play every day.
Right.
You don't think that helped them to use greenies? You don't think it helped people to use spitballs? You don't think it helped people when
you're trying to gain an edge, but you still have to do the thing out there, regardless of what you're. So,
I don't. You want to put an asterisk on Barry Bonds? Go ahead. But the idea that I could build a better team, or at least as good of a team outside the Hall of Fame as in it, that could beat your best team inside the Hall of Fame, we're getting to that point, is just laughable and renders the Baseball Hall of Fame a complete joke.
Was Brady Anderson. Do you remember him?
Yeah, 50 home runs.
He hits 50 home runs.
And in his previous year, he had like 16.
18, yeah, he had 18, and then he had 18, and then pretty much the rest of his career, 17, 16, 15.
He was Nate McClouth until he turned into Mickey Mantle. But you know what? It happened just like other eras in baseball history. The one that gets the baseball writers here is that it affected these hallowed numbers that mean so much to them. The other stuff didn't. This one, oh my God, Babe Ruth's numbers are now going to be affected, so let's keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame. What an absolute farce that is. And in reading about Willie Mays today, do you know that nobody in baseball history, at least at the time of this story, had been unanimously elected to the Hall of Fame? There was like 25 guys who didn't elect Willie Mays to the Hall of Fame.
You should lose your privileges at that point.
Or Joe DiMaggio, for that matter. Or Mickey Mantle. Like, what are these idiots? What are they doing?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I remember Ricky Henderson. When
they
he
should
was
be
up.
Made to explain their rationale.
Yeah, when Ricky Henderson was up, he only got like 97% of the vote. It's like, what are the other 3% people doing?
They should be fired. It should have ended all those years ago, because they decided, we're going to show you nobody's ever going to get in unanimously with us baseball writers. That vote should have been stripped from them decades ago.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I've said that many times.
There are slam dunks out there. You don't need to even think twice. Just get the vote And if you're doing it for whatever reason you're doing it, well, because you don't believe anyone should be first ballot, then you should be excused from doing that process altogether.
Sandy Koufax is still alive, isn't he? Is he? Bob?
I think
Paul?
So. I don't
remember. Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Then he's got to be on that list. If we're taking guys out of their primes, the greatest to ever live, who would you rather have on the mound than Sandy Koufax?
Old. God bless him. He's 88 years old.
So right now, Bob, if you put together your best team, we had a game to save the planet. You put together your best team from inside the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure Willie Mays would be on it. I could compete with you. I'd have Roger Clemens as my starting pitcher.
You're talking about those who have been
excluded. Because of cheating. Allegedly. Well, clearly in a couple of cases they did. Roger Clemens would be my starting pitcher. Okay. Barry Bonds would be on my team. A-Rod would be on my team.
Would you put
Mark McGuire would be on my team.
Mark McGuire should be, yeah.
Sammy Sosa would be in my outfield.
How about your outfit of Sosa, Bonds, and pick another?
Yeah, really.
Is David Ortiz being kept out?
No,
were
he
there
got
suspicions
in,
about him? Oh, he got in.
He got in, which is in, and then you know the
that's
the,
a shifting of the philosophy.
Exactly. The guardians of the game, so to speak, including a few in this town, then you know had to go write columns explaining why David Ortiz was different than Bonds and Clemens and you know the rest of that group.
Ridiculous.
Even though, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to look this up. If I'm not, because you know, I don't want Najee Harris's agent to call me out here. I'm looking this up, but wasn't Ortiz one of the guys that actually tested positive in some way?
There was a lot of scrutiny about him. There's no question. I don't know if he actually tested that way. I think he did, though. The more I think about that, I think you're right. I think there was some.
There we go. Hang on, let me just see.
I love this
you
part
guys,
of the
you
show.
You guys talk. Let me look at it. I just want to make sure I'm right.
I know. You might have Najee's agent on the line.
Ortiz, you see, tested.
Go to the bathroom and don't come back.
Exactly. Ortiz, you see, tested positive for a banned substance during the anonymous survey test.
That's good enough for me. Keep him out.
Okay. But he was in. See, it was different. That's different, according to people. There was columns that were written explaining why it was different, which just goes to show you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The whole steroid thing is nonsense, okay? And here's what it is. 100% to keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame.
Because they didn't like him.
If Bonds was never, you know, suspected of steroids, if he wasn't in that crowd, Clemens would be in, A-Rod would be in, these other guys would be. They're all collateral damage. Because these baseball writers are so petty and silly that they wanted to do everything in their power to keep Bonds out.
I agree.
And so, to me, they're willing to sacrifice Clemens. They're willing to sacrifice A-Rod. They're willing to take these ridiculous stances of, oh, well, you know, there's a morals clause in the voting. And get out of here.
A morals clause, by the way, that was instituted by a segregationist.
Exactly.
In one of baseball's great ironies. We'll follow what that guy says.
Exactly. People talk about Ty Cobb. People talk about, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
That guy.
You know, how many bad people that are you know, give me a break with that. But again, it is 100% designed, 100% designed to keeping Bonds out. That's all it is.
One of the great lines.
Who's another one? Andy Pettit? Not that he would be.
I don't remember.
But he was. Remember. But he handled it differently.
He did get suspended.
And he admitted and he did all the things.
Is he in?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying you want to formulate your pitching staff, he would have to be on it, even though I don't know if he's in.
No, he's not in.
He's not in. Here's my question. Without the steroids, would he still be in? Would I don't know that he would have been in.
I don't know.
I mean,
I'd use him on my staff, though, of teams of my team that could beat guys in there.
He was one that basically came up with the whole he didn't know what he was taking or it was a mistake. He didn't know what.
Right.
The thing that really gets me is one of the guys, in addition to the entire media, that kept a blind eye to the home run race between Sosa and McGuire is Bud Selig, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, that's
he's
that's
in the Hall of
one.
Fame, but those two,
right,
who basically rejuvenated baseball or saved
and
it in the 90s, aren't.
And he knew it, and he used
he's
it.
He's in.
He used it for the betterment of the game, to bring in more money, to sell the game.
Harold Baines is in.
I know.
And Barry Bonds isn't.
Wait, and not just that, Joe. All of the baseball writers who are taking this pious stance about the steroids and about, you know, they all celebrated the home run chase.
Right.
Because it was saving their game. None of them, but, you know, even though we could all see that Mark McGuire, even though that we could all see that Mark McGuire, you know, was looking like, you know, Popeye with his forearms popping out, we all knew what was going on, but they didn't want to say a word back then because it was saving baseball after the strike and everything. So, I mean, that's why I always say, you miss me with all of this nonsense. Well, you know, there is a clause that says that there's a morality clause. Please.
Bob, you've known a lot of sports writers. Are they generally, and I was one of them, and still am, the types of people who should be invoking a morality clause on anybody?
No.
Jose,
I say that generally because everybody has something to deal with.
I say it lovingly, yes. Jose Canseco, who's, you know, the guy who busted this whole story wide open way back when, he was the whistleblower. And the old saying, if you want to find out what the robbers are doing, talk to a thief, right? He estimated that 85% of all players were doing steroids at that time. And I believe him because I believe the thief about the robbers.
And it wasn't, here's the thing, it wasn't just the guys hitting home runs.
It was the guys pitching to
him. It was the middle infielders. It was the guys pitching. It was the relievers. It was everybody was doing it. So as I always say, you treat it as the steroid era, enabled by the people that run baseball, enabled by the people who covered baseball, right? Then you take the best of the best of that year, that era. And they're your Hall of Famers.
One of the great lines was Bill Pennington of the New York Times, who talked about this integrity clause and said, the Baseball Hall of Fame is basically a museum that already includes multiple virulent racists, drunks, cheats, brawlers, drug users, and at least one acknowledged sex addict. But it won't let in these guys. These guys who use steroids.
Yeah.
Who used cream to make their muscles bigger.
Yeah.
What a farce, Bob. It's the Hall of Farce, not the Hall of Fame.
Again, I would just say you're allowed to play. The league is responsible for those who are on the field. If they're allowed to play, then what they do with their time on the field should be judged objectively. They're allowed to play. The people, like you said, Bud Selig, as soon as I heard he was in the Hall of Fame, it just made my stomach turn because he was the person who enabled a lot of this because he knew he had to have known. And yet he wanted money flowing into the game, and the only way to do that is to have your product get better, and those players made it better. So,
all right, coming up, let's talk a little about the Pirate game last night. What was the main storyline there? And Matt Fensel of the Post-Gazette has a very interesting name that the Penguins could look at this offseason, and his name isn't Jake Guentzel, I might add.